Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, on this Saturday morning. Shalom. Happy Sabbath to all. May the Lord God watch over and bless you, each and every one. But this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am truly blessed to be with you this morning. But normally, this is my rest day. But today, God put it on my heart to do our word this morning, and that tomorrow I will have such a very busy day, and God has given me rest to do what I need to do on Mother's Day. So to all my mothers, happy Mother's Day. I pray that your tomorrow will be wonderful, that it will be great, and that you will have a great time with your children and in the Lord. So thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a mom, to be a godmother, to be an adopted mother, to just be who I am, a woman of God. So I praise him every day, and I lift up his name. Whew, just knowing that I am blessed to be a child of God. And I have some furry friends totally enjoying themselves in my yard and on my windows. And they have been talking up a storm, but it's all good. God is good. Heavenly Father God, I come to you this morning, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus and thanking you for this mighty Old Testament word. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, Lord, as I lift this word up, that someone will hear it and know that you're always there, that you are there with us in our good, our bad, and our ugly, that you cover us in our pain, hope for a future. And Lord God, as I lift it up in Jesus' name, I ask you, God, as I do every day, please increase as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into the word this morning. We are coming out of 1 Samuel through chapter 31. We will be finishing 1 Samuel today. And on Monday, we will be in 2 Samuel. Wow. Time goes quick. Time goes very quick. A whole nother book on Monday. So join me on Monday for 2 Samuel as well. So let's finish 1 Samuel today. On yesterday, we completed our Psalms, our Proverbs, and our New Testament word for this weekend. And so today, which normally would be Old Testament Sunday, we are Old Testament Saturday. So again, shalom. May you be blessed today. Those that are my brothers and sisters who worship on Sabbath, may this word touch your heart. Because now the Zephites came to Saul at Geba, saying, is David not hiding in the hills of Helek opposite Jezreel? When Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziphah, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to see David in the wilderness of Ziphah, and Saul encamped Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right in the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David wasn't going to mess with Saul. He was not. Saul, if it had been the opposite situation, he would have killed David. But David did not have that heart in him. David trusted in God. David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, for he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should reach out my own hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. And I understand a deep sleep, because I slept a deep sleep last night and the night before. I slept very well and didn't want to wake up this morning, but God, whew, hallelujah. Now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill, afar off, a great distance between them. And David called out to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer, Abner? Abner answered and said, who are you calling out to the king? So David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? But one of the people came in to destroy your lord and king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. Now see where the king's spear is, the jug of water, and what that was by his head. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord thus pursue? What have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord's day. Go serve other gods. So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the Lord of Israel has come out to seek a flea as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned, return my son David, for I will harm you no more because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his palace. Saul knew, hey, I could be dead in my bed. Didn't have to, but he did. And a life lesson for chapter 26 of 1 Samuel. The first is this. The Lord shall strike him. Once more, David refused to kill Saul when he had the chance. David's aid saw the opportunity as a divine blessing, but David saw it as a test. He would wait for God to act in his own time. And that's exactly what it was. It was a test. With David, who I also have anointed, strike my anointed. But we know the word of God says, touch not my anointed to the anointed of God. We don't touch him with our hands and we don't touch him with our mouths. We got to keep our hands and mouths off of God's anointed. And you will know who they are because they glow with the love of God all over them. Trust God. Trust his heart. Trust his love. Trust that everything will work out for your good because you love God. Well, what a mighty God we serve. And it goes, and it also tells us in this life lesson, thank you, Dr. Charles Stanley. May God rest your loving soul. I will harm you no more because my life was precious in your eyes today. Thing to know that you have acted foolishly and made a great mistake. It is another to repent of the foolishness and the error. Saul did the first but not the latter. God calls us to do both. You know, Saul played it. You know, he did this the second time. He done told David, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, you saved my life. You could have took it, but you didn't. And I'm not going to chase you anymore. But sure enough, soon as opportunity came, what did he do? Chase David again. Because that's just his heart. He did not have the right heart. And he did not have the right spirit within him. Because he wanted to be king so desperately that he disobeyed Samuel. And he disobeyed God. And as we go into chapter 27 of 1 Samuel 6, and David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines and Saul fear of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish. Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, David with his two wives, Adoniram and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the Carmelites, Nabal's widow, And it was so Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the house of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Gershonites, the Gergites, and the Amalekites. But those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Then Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? And David would say, against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jeremites, or against the southern area of the Kenites. David would say, neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, lest they should reform on us. And thus David did. And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. So again, he had a contented spirit to say, can David for my own self and for my benefit, not understanding David was not for anybody's benefit, but God. God was in charge of David's life. God was the one that gave him peace in Achish and Ziklag. But understand that God will still test us in the midst. So let's keep going and seeing what our friend Saul is up to. Because Saul, again, still doesn't get it. He still does not get it. But he will. But he doesn't die. You know, I'm telling this story before it happens. Saul dies. I'm not going to tell you how, but I can tell you this. It was not at the hand of David. Now, it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you will surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. So David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the visualists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped in Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servant, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul is, how he has cut off the medium and the spiritless from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up before you. And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? But you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up. He is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Daniel. And he stopped with his face. He stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am thinking to make war against me. And God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, saying the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell forth limp on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Daniel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands and eaten the words which you spoke to me. Now, therefore, please eat also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat that you may have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. She took flour and kneaded and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Samuel did not deal with foolishness in death any more than he dealt with foolishness in life. And so he gave Saul exactly what he needed to hear. And as we go back into the life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 28, it says this, find me a woman who is a medium. Once more, here we go. Saul allowed his fear to spur him on to foolish and wicked choice. If we do not deal with our fear by bringing it to the Lord, it will eventually crush us. And Saul walked in fear to sacrifice instead of being obedient. And what did the Lord say to Samuel? Obedience is better than sacrifice, because he made a sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to, when he did not have the authorization to do so. I'm just thinking, how can you be so disobedient? Go and get a median when that is a big deal to God. Do not go to mediums and spiritualists and psychics. You know, don't do it. That's not of God. 1 Samuel 28:10, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. By this point in the story, Saul is an absolute mess spiritually. He even swears by the Lord not to do what the Lord has commanded. Our professions of faith will never substitute for genuine, obedient faith. Oh, I trust God. But let me take care of this myself. I trust God. Let me go over there where God said not to go. I trust God. Let me do whatever it is that I feel is the best thing for me. We better understand God sees everything and knows everything. And in 1 Samuel 28 and 19, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. Samuel had not mellowed even into it. He still proclaimed the same uncompromising message that he delivered while alive. And God still fulfilled his word. His word is a rock on which we can build our entire lives. Samuel did not play. He loved God. And he didn't play with God. He didn't play with the word of God. Whatever God told him to do, that's what he did. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we should do. Follow God. Samuel chapter 29. And it says, then the Philistines gathered together at all their armies at Ephraim. And the Israelites encamped by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review, but hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul's kingdom, who has been with me these days and these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him, since he defected to me. But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return, that he may be back. I'm sorry, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary, for which what could be reconciled himself to this master, not with the heads of these men. Is this not David of whom they sang to one another in dancing and saw his slain his thousands, and David is 10,000? Then Achish said, called David and said to him, surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and this army is good in my sight. But to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord did not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? Say, what have you found in your servant, as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Then Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now therefore rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked. Ziklag had burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and the wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with them lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives and Ahinoam and the Jezreelites and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, but you shall surely overtake them. And without fail, recover all. So David went, he and the 600 who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, and 400 men, but 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water under him. And they gave him a piece of cake, a fig, and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. But he had eaten no bread nor drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. He made. You get it right, because I lost my spot. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Jechorites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So it says, word to me by God, that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down there, they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small nor great, sons or daughters, spoils or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds and had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered him there, because they did not go up with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this manner? But as his part, who goes down to the earth, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forth, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. So those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramah of the south, those who were in Jittar, those who were in Aor, those who were in Zephamath, those who were in Eshtemoa, those who were in Rachel, those who were in the cities of the Jeremelites, those who were in the cities of the Kenites, those who were in Arma, those who were in Rashan, those who were in Ekti, those who were in Hebron, and all places where David himself and men were accustomed to roam. Chapter 30, Life Lessons. And I have chapter 30, Life Principles as well. Life Lessons. In 1 Samuel 30 and 1, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. The blessing and anointing of the Lord does not exempt a person from hardship and tragedy. Yet the Lord is at work even through tragedy, and he asks us to trust him even in the hard times. And I know it's not easy to trust in the hard times because you know, Lord, I'm going through. Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to get this money that I need to pay this bill. Lord, I'm not sure how things are going to work out. Lord, I'm just not sure. That's it. Keep going on. Oh, Lord, I need you. But then God always comes through. In 1 Samuel 30 and 20, this is David's fall, as he had done with Joseph centuries before. God took a personal tragedy for David and turned it into a personal blessing. Obedience always brings blessings, even in dark and puzzling times. All the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered, even after times of victory. The wicked and the worthless can raise their complaints. God allows the wheat and the tares to grow together. And we must be ready for this and make sure we know how to handle their criticism with God's grace. Come on now. Chapter 31. And we're going to come back to our life principle after we finish our reading for this morning. We'll come back at the end to the life principles from 1 Samuel. Chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gibeah. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Mount Kishai, Saul's son. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they possessed the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gibeah, and they cut off his head and stripped it, and stripped off his armor, and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of the Asherites, and they fastened his body to the wall of their shame. Mm. be thinking to yourself, how can you be so low down and dirty to hang this man's body, a king, just on the wall, no big deal. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh, Gilead, heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the walls of Bethshan. And they came to Gibeah and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the juramate tree of Gibeah and fasted 7 days. Whew. And then it says in a life lesson that the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Mount Kashai, son Saul, Saul's son. Jonathan loved God and delighted in his close friendship, David, and yet the Lord allowed the Philistines to kill him. Why? We could speculate, but God does not tell us why, even in tragedy. Our God. Even in tragedy, our job is to trust. We got to trust God through the good. We got to trust God through the bad. We got to trust God, as I said earlier, through the ugly things that happen in life. We got to stand on that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there with us. God is not changed. God does not change. We are the ones that change. We love him today, but because he didn't do what we needed done, X, Y, Z, then we want to not love God. Well, you got to love him anyway. Everything works out in the end when you trust in the Lord. That's our word for this morning. Everything works out in the end when you trust in the Lord. And as we finish up our word for this morning, again, to my brothers and sisters, shalom. And as we go forth, it says, life principles from Dr. Charles Stanley. The dark moments of our life last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose. In 1 Samuel 31:6, if you want God's best for your life and desire to be used by him, at some point you will have to travel the road of adversity. This means that God's purpose for adversity cannot be bad, and yet, sadly, many people allow adversity to become a major point of setback and defeat. You don't have to be among them. Hallelujah. God has designed adversity, regardless of its source, to become a turning point from which you take your greatest leap forward in spiritual growth. He allows adversity to remain in your life only until it has enabled him to accomplish his purpose in you. He will not keep it in your life 1 second longer than is necessary, wiped out by trials, while others learn to stand in the confidence of God's faithfulness. The latter have an overwhelming sense of stability and immovable strength. They weather the storm, held high, confident, bold, not repressing anything. They feel absolutely certain that their God is going to see them through the headache and then bring them out whole and joyful and more mature on the other side. Adversity also shows us where we stand in our faith. Do we doubt God? Do we thank him for his faithfulness? Then for his faithfulness. In the stormy, heart-wrenching time. You know, we just had, as many of you know, a huge dust storm that caused 80 or plus cars to be engulfed, some engulfed in flames, some in accidents. 30 plus people taken to the hospital. 6 to 10 died in the accidents that happened. Cars towed in her car. I watched and I looked. It was like going through something out of a Mad Max movie. Two lots for nothing but trucks that had been in accidents. Some of them burnt up cars. And only thing that was decent in the whole group of objects that was just a mess was the state troopers doing their job. And I have to give kudos to the Illinois State Police because they came through. They did what they were supposed to do. They did their job. And I tell you, by Saturday, when I passed that way, all the cars were gone. So Friday, cars, Wednesday, cars still over there, that lot that had been involved in that awful crash on that Monday. You know, God will take adversity and work it out for our good. We just have to keep trusting him. And not leaning to our understanding, but acknowledging his way, acknowledging him. And it tells us in this word that Dr. Stanley has given us this life principle. The dark moments of our life will last so long as it's necessary for God to accomplish his purpose. Not my purpose, not your purpose, God's purpose. And I love this word that God gave him. It says, adversity also shows us where we stand in our faith. Do we doubt God? Do we thank him for his faithfulness in the stormy, heart-wrenching times? Can we trust him when he says he will never leave or forsake us? Adversity is God's most accurate barometer for faith. It also reveals our endurance level. None of us knows how much physical or emotional pain we can withstand. Right now, right where you are, remember this, God has put a limit on all adversity because you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. He knows how much you can bear. You can endure the suffering and hardship to the limit. God has given, as the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 34:19 pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him, but he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. When we learn and mature in the midst of tremendous adversity, God is pleased because he sees his purpose being fulfilled in us. We are growing spiritually because becoming stronger in areas of weakness and increasingly being conformed to the likeness of Christ. God is thrilled when we respond correctly to adversity. I believe God weaves three principal threads into all adversity. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. And if you want to get a piece of paper to write this down, it says, number one, adversity is God's choice tool for building godly spiritual character into our lives. Until we experience heartache, disappointment, and pain, we are not properly equipped for service. He uses adversity to mold and shape us. He does not bring it into our lives without purpose. Adversity usually comes in the areas where we feel the most confident. God wants to break us of the idea that we are sufficient on our own. He makes us for a loving, dependent relationship with him. A loving relationship with himself. What a mighty God. And then he tells us, you know, he says, loving relationship with himself. And he uses adversity to remind us of the fact. Number three, God's ultimate design is to conform you to the likeness of Jesus. He has something definite in mind. God allows adversity to mold and shape you, but he uses it only so long as it is needed. Once it has performed its function, he takes it away. What do you think God has in mind when he allows adversity to invade your life? I believe God wants to accomplish several goals in your life and mind by allowing suffering and headaches into our experience. Adversity gets our attention. Adversity delivers us from pride. Adversity reveals our weaknesses and strengths. Adversity increases our hatred of sin. Adversity demonstrates the faithfulness of God. Adversity strengthens our faith. Adversity removes pride and self-centeredness. Adversity prepares us for future service. Adversity enables us to comfort others facing adversity. Through adversity, he is molding you into a mature child of God. Whenever God sees you, he sees a state struggling, sometimes failing, but justified, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled to him. He sees a saint full of his unconditional love, indwelt by his presence, sealed by the Holy Spirit, a promise whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He sees you on your way to heaven with purpose and direction in your life. He sees someone in whom adversity can never take up permanent residence. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord with me this morning? Thank you, God, for your love, for your kindness, for your goodness. And one life lesson left in chapter 31 is this. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor. God sometimes allows triumph and even to celebrate and believe that they have overcome him, but only for a while. God takes the long view of history and always triumphs in the end. So I say this morning, in the end, we know we win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty, mighty word this morning. And, Lord, as we get ready to depart, I can only say thank you for my mother. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God. And as I get ready to end it up, sensitivity is our title. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Romans 12 and 15. God of love, you are so multifaceted. Your light shines for all to see, and it meets every one of us right where we are. Thank you for your love that crosses every boundary. Nothing can keep us from it, Lord. I have known your comfort in my time of need. I have known your incredible joy in time of celebration. You are not deaf to the vicious, to the various situations we find ourselves in. As you meet each one of us in our realities, let me be the same with empathy as my covering. Help me to be sensitive to the people around me, sharing in their joy and in their heartache and heartbreak. You set us in familiar. You set us in families on purpose, Lord, that we would carry each other's burdens. A sure load is not as heavy as lugging it alone. I will not be afraid to relate to others. My peace cannot be stolen by recognizing a friend's anguish. Lord of compassion, may I reflect you in how I love and relate to everyone in my life. Feel me and don't stop meeting me in the realities of my life. What does it cost you to relate to others without trying to fix Lord God, I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your love and for your kindness. I thank you for this word that you have shared with us. Every present one, you hear every request that comes your way. Your capacity is amazing. You don't grow weary responding to your children. Hear me today, Lord. I lay out my heart before you. I have confidence that you listen and respond. Give me eyes to see the answers to my prayers. It's likely that I'll forget I ever asked if you don't bring it to my attention. Encourage my soul today with the faithfulness of your grace that meets me. You are better than I can rightly know, but I want to see you more clearly as you are. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, that follows me all the days of my life. What an extraordinary gift to be called your child and heir. I faith today, knowing that you are not only by my side, but acting as my advocate and faithful provider. You are the best thing I've got in life. I'm so thankful for your constant companionship. Whew, as it should be, if we know he hears us every time we ask him, we know we have what we ask from him. 1 John 5:15. And the question for today, as you begin your Mother's Day weekend, do you believe that God provides all that you need? And I can honestly say, yes, I do. I believe that God has my family covered from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I am thankful that God loves me enough that he blesses me and that he loves me. So I thank you all. Before we go, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then family, is a wrap. And I am thankful again for God's grace. And as we go forth, Sister Carolyn is on vacation, and she has not sent out a word. But I will give you a word from yesterday. So let's just get to you this weekend. God is the ultimate problem solver. Have a followed God and a saved, sanctified Saturday, knowing that God has got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Have a blessed weekend. And again, to all the mothers, thank you for listening in, and happy Mother's Day. Have a great weekend, family. It's a wrap.